Hey everybody, it's the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and you are watching the weekly Ringer series here on clanofthegreywolf.com. Hope everybody's having a great week. I have a lot to do today on the show. We're going to talk about the question from last week, which really sparked a lot of great conversation around some of your favorite video game worlds, and specifically really about what has made it so hard to leave those things behind, you know? Like Boys to Men say, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. So we're gonna say goodbye to yesterday a little bit. We're gonna at least talk about that and find out what your thoughts are there. But I also then want to give you my own thoughts, as I always do, and then I will also give you a question for next week that I think will have you thinking a little bit differently about some of your favorite games, and might get you thinking in the realm of other people playing your favorite games, which is, I think, is an interesting little teaser for the question for next week. So that's the show. That's what we're going to put together. With that in mind, let's get started. So I always like to begin the show with welcoming our new folks. It's getting harder and harder to do now that we've been doing this for so long, but several of you have commented with me directly that, you know, this is one of your favorite parts. You like the idea that we welcome people to the community. I think it's a great thing. You just got to excuse the old Commodore noggin, because I'm doing this all by my brain here, my own little memory. So if I miss somebody, or if I put somebody in that shouldn't have been there before, just like your, you know, aging grandfather, just, you know, just kind of laugh it off and be like, oh, Commodore, you're so ridiculous. But in any case, we have a lot of new people to welcome today. Probably, I think that's a good indication that we ask a good question. We have people that stepped up to the plate and asked questions for the very first time, even though they've been watching for a while. And that's always great, as well as great commentary from the folks that we have come to expect from our wonderful community here on the Weekly Ringer. So, without further ado, new people to welcome today. Blake, it's simple, it's easy, it's not difficult to interpret. It's Blake. Welcome to you, Blake. Let's see what else we've got here. Dubious Gaming. That's interesting. It's an interesting title. I'm not really sure exactly what that one could possibly mean. I think there's probably, some dubious undertones to it. I don't know if there's any evil or mischief out there, but anyway, whether there is or whether there isn't, welcome to the community, my friend. Good to have you on board. Evening Bean. I thought that was an interesting comment or a name. I never really understood in a lot of ways, I guess, where people come up with some of their creative usernames. I'm sure that all of you have some tremendous stories behind why you chose the names that you've chosen. But for me, you know, if it's Evening Bean, it's Evening Bean. Okay, good. This next one was a little confusing for me. It's either Windows on 91, which I think is cool, like maybe Windows in the year 1991 or something to do with that, or it's Windows Sun 91. It's probably the latter, not the former. I just thought the first thing. This is a little, you know, maybe association. The first thing I saw, or I thought of when I saw your username, was Windows on 91. So, anyway, shows what I know. Welcome to you, in either case. And then we've got Shook 50. Welcome to you. Shook, shaken, not stirred, 50. And also Siska 83. Man, lots of new folks today. Welcome to you all. Thanks for being a part of the Weekly Ringer, and I look forward to seeing your many contributions moving forward with the show for in the weeks, months, and, dare I say, years to come. Great to have you all on board. So let's get right into this. Several of the new commenters today got on the list for some of the top comments that you guys provided as a part of the community. So just goes to show you, folks, a great idea, you know, doesn't mean that you have to be tenured to get your ideas on the show. Just means you got to have something that I find unique and interesting. Now, I got a lot of contributions today. It's a big, big question. Let's set that up before I jump into it. Last week, I asked you, what are, and this was a question straight from the community, which I always love to ask those questions as well. But The question was, what is the hardest gaming world for you to leave behind or say goodbye to? And really, why? I think we've all felt that feeling where, you know, the luster wears off of a game, or you're moving on to something else, or you've finished a game or something like that, and it's time to kind of put it away. And then you may think about it a little bit later, and just, it's really hard to walk away from those great, great games for many different reasons. That was the question I asked you guys. And what I did was I mostly wrote down for this week, for the contributions, the name of the game, and then we'll talk about that a little bit for the person that contributed it. So, but as I do now with the Weekly Ringer, I want to talk about some of the criteria that you guys set up that I agree with for why some of these games that you listed ended up on the list. I'm going to go through that first because I think it's very important. Number one, you guys said that in some way, shape, or form, These games tend to speak to the human condition. In other words, they are artistic in ways beyond just fun or engaging. They happen to be something that speaks to you personally or speaks to the way that all of us as human beings live our lives. Cool idea. I think that's one of the reasons why films are successful and why TV shows are successful. It just happens to be, I think, a universal factor in why things tend to be really cool and well accepted. Good. So, and I agree with that 100%. Number two, they are immersive. Now, this is a cool point. This is this is language that tends to be overused these days in video gaming, the likes of which, you know, cloud computing is overused in pretty much every aspect of life at this point. But in any case, immersive, meaning that the game really kind of drew you in and encapsulated you. You know, you were kind of engrossed in the experience of the game to one degree or another, and that aided in your enjoyment of it. I think it's a very good point. There are different degrees of immersion and different ways that you can become immersed, and several of you dealt with those ideas, story, particular mechanics that draw you in through, you know, controls, through, you know, mechanics actually in the game, characters, through, you know, cliffhangers, whatever the case might be. There are a lot of different things and different ways to kind of immerse people in the game. Really awesome graphics or really, you know, tremendous pacing to the game can also help to draw people in. I think these are all great points. And they really speak to immersion in one way or another. But I think that is a good universal factor. Number three, games that go the extra mile to draw you in, to be immersive. So there are little things, I think, that all of us would find in the games that we love most that just are things that kind of set it apart. And a lot of times, they're not huge. I'll never forget one of the first times I was playing GoldenEye multiplayer, or I'm sorry, single player. And I remember being out in the surface level over the bunker. And, you know, for those of you that know, it's a long level. There's a lot to go through, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of snowy terrain. Well, at one point, I was using the sniper rifle, and I think I went to go shoot somebody. And as I did in GoldenEye a lot, I missed them. And I missed the person, and it just, like, hit a snowbank behind them. And I remember kind of walking around after that and going through the level as normal. And I got to the point that I had shot, you know, minutes before, right? And, you know, lots of combat happened in between then. And I look up on the little snowbank, and there's the same gunshot where I missed the guy. That little layer of detail goes a mile toward bringing people into the experience. You know, it doesn't pull you out of the fact that you're watching a game. It helps draw you back into the fact that you are a part of the universe. And that's a big, big part of it as well. Number four, you know, nostalgia for a game can also outweigh the actual experience of the game. So for a lot of the things that we were talking about, many of you talked about the idea of nostalgia being very strong with those particular games, and that might directly impact your thoughts about it. And I think that's a good point. The way that we remember things a lot of times, anybody that ever watched, go back and watch some of your favorite shows from when you were a kid and realize that they're not so awesome. Some of them are, but most of them are usually not, right? Watching Thundercats now, it's like, I love Thundercats for what it was, but I'm not, it's kind of crappy. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? If you go back and watch the original show, I dare say you will not be as impressed as you were as a youth. In any case, I think nostalgia can definitely affect the way that we look at these games, but nostalgia can also keep us ingrained in the experience to where it's harder to say goodbye. And that's what many of you talked about as well. And some of you even asked, have I ever really said goodbye? No, probably not. So that's a fair point anyway. Number five, games that don't end when you beat them, I think, contributes to some of the difficulty in saying goodbye. Several of you mentioned that. I think Maze brought it up initially, but several of you echoed those sentiments. The idea that games that have a hard ending and then a roll screen and you're done, roll credits and you're finished, those games, I think, are easier to say goodbye to than games that just don't end. And this should probably give you at least a little bit of a hint as to where I'm going to go with my answers. And where many of you went with your answers as well. I agree with all of those things. I'll say this too. Last thing I'll say is as a point. And this kind of just came to me very recently. But I think our willingness to suspend our disbelief has a lot to do with it. In other words, I think one of the reasons that nostalgia plays a big part in what we do is because we're willing to give a game or a film or, a TV show or whatever. We're willing to kind of go, okay, yeah, this is fake, it's not real, but I'm just going to kind of jump in with both feet here and as if it were, right? And I think that's really cool, Those of us out there that are more willing to do that are actually playing these games, I think, in the ways that probably they were intended, rather than folks that aren't willing to really suspend their disbelief and just kind of play the numbers game and win at all costs rather than trying to kind of really go through. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to do stuff like that, putting the game within a game, but the first thing that jumps to my mind is playing Grand Theft Auto 3 or Vice City and actually following traffic laws. I don't know why I was doing that, but for me it was fun because I was actually, I was only going nuts when I needed to go nuts. I wasn't just wantonly tearing around town blowing things to pieces. I think that has a lot to do with our engagement of a world. And that specifically makes worlds harder to say goodbye to. Anyway, those are the overarching arguments that you guys made. I agree with all of them. And I think some of those things might be a little bit contradictory as well. So there's no silver bullet that makes a game more or less memorable. But those are the things I think that tend to be part of the kind of fabric of the games that we love and are very hard to say goodbye to. With that, let's jump into the community. Blake, one of our new members, talked about Fallout 3. Now, several of you mentioned afterwards that Fallout in general, or even Bethesda games, have been traditionally very difficult to say goodbye to. I tend to think that that's 100% true. Fallout has never been one of my favorite games. I haven't played Fallout 3, but I do think that there is something to be said about the universe that Fallout encompasses. And I can see that being very difficult to say goodbye to. So I think that's a good one. DTX180 got us kicked off on World of Warcraft, the first of the massively multiplayer online games to talk about in terms of a setting, in terms of the world that you live in. But I think what was interesting about World of Warcraft, of course I can't argue with that, but what I will tell you this, though, is that several of you, Mr. K kind of got us kicked off here, talked about the idea of the original World of Warcraft before Cataclysm, before Lich King, before all these other things happened, is actually unduplicatable, right? So it's there. You can't ever go back to that moment. It's just kind of past. And there's something very poignant about that, and there's something very difficult, something that makes it very difficult to say goodbye to at that point, because you'll never be able to see that again. It's nice, as Mr. K said, to be able to pull out the old Final Fantasy VI cart, pop it in, and play it right from the get-go, You can't do that with the original World of Warcraft now, and I think that's kind of sad. So, several of you mentioned this idea. That was something that many of you had a very difficult time saying goodbye to, and I agree with that 100%. Even though I never got into WoW, it was never my thing, I totally get why many of you would have a very difficult time saying goodbye. By the way, guys, I could have gone back and mentioned every single game that all of you said because they were so, so good and so, so many. I had to just pick some because, folks, I try not to make these videos 2 hours long, okay? Markies talked about Final Fantasy X, and I think that's a good example of a Final Fantasy, although certainly not the only one that was discussed here this week in on the Weekly Ringer. I think that Final Fantasy X is of the contemporary ones, of the more modern Final Fantasies. You would be hard pressed to find one that is more immersive. Go through the criteria. You know, speaking to the human condition, more immersive. You know, those kinds of things than Final Fantasy X. I don't want to call it a masterpiece, it's not my favorite, but I think of the contemporary games, it is the best, and I think there are several reasons why, but rather than go into all of those reasons, what I will say is I support the idea that Final Fantasy X is a tough game to say goodbye to. It had a lot of cool elements to it that I think made the characters very easy to align with, which has been something that's been very, very badly missing in my estimation from recent Final Fantasy games. It's difficult for us, and maybe this is a very biased opinion for an American audience, but as an American, it's difficult for me to kind of really identify with some of the characters out there that are very, very crazy. It blows up my suspension of disbelief. Which has been really, really difficult for me to do. And that's one of the reasons why I can't get into Final Fantasy past 10. So I think that's a good selection by Markies. Smoke Pants followed up from the question from last week and talked about Chrono Trigger. And this is one that should be obvious. I'm not going to talk more about Chrono Trigger. If you want to see me talk a lot about Chrono Trigger, you can absolutely go back and watch last week's video. But in any case, Chrono Trigger is absolutely one of those best, one of those games that's really, really hard to say goodbye to. With all the elements of time, with all the things that you go through, you become very enamored with the characters and you become kind of one of them. And that is exactly the kind of immersion and the kind of story and the kind of elements that go into a game that make it so wonderfully warm and welcoming that keep you there and keep you wanting to come back. Sonic Rose talked about Okami, and I think this is, you know, I think this is a dark horse out there. Okami is awesome. It's one of those games that comes along that doesn't really play to the rules that came for games before it. It really is a kind of step forward, and I think it's a shame that games that do kind of make that leap every once in a while don't really get rewarded with a ton of sales because they kind of change the way people think about video games. And oftentimes that's uncomfortable, right? But Okami is engrossing in every sense of the word. It is immersive. It is fun. It is, you become, it's not even as much as a character. You become a part of the world because you're helping to create the world. That's a theme that runs out through a lot of the games that you guys mentioned. But if you being a part of the creation process makes it harder to say goodbye in the end. And so I think Okami is a great example of a game that makes you involved in the process and therefore very difficult to say goodbye to. Man with a Harmonica talked about Rayman Origins. And here's an interesting, the reason I put this on here, guys, is because Man with a Harmonica talks about it for a completely different set of reasons. You know, first of all, I love the creator of Rayman, Michel Ancel, is an awesome, awesome game designer who's created, among, you know, many classics, including Rayman, also Beyond Good and Evil, which is one of my favorite games. But Rayman Origins, and really a lot of the Rayman games, kind of bucks a lot of the trends of the video game industry as well. And it does so in a way that is kind of irreverent. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It doesn't go too ridiculously deep. it just kind of, you know, thumbs its nose at the rest of the you know, the community out there. It just kind of laughs at everybody else and at itself. And in doing so, I think it creates a kind of, you know, there is a there's kind of a solidarity with the audience that plays Rayman, that you're just kind of in on the joke. And that makes a game very hard to say goodbye to. When you feel like you are a part of it because you're in on it. You understand it. It speaks to you culturally. And that's why I included Rayman Origins, which is one that probably many of you never would have put on the list. But I thought it was a good selection. And this is a perfect example of where the why from the question is what got it included. Because if you just said to me Rayman, I would have been like, no way, no. But I love the explanation, and I thought it was, you know, the idea that it kind of isn't all the things that that I laid out for you here, in many ways, as criteria. The fact that it isn't those, but that is what makes it endearing, and that's what makes it fun, and that's what keeps you coming back, and making it hard to say goodbye. That is a huge, huge part of it, and I think that's what kind of put us over the edge for mentioning today. The Male White Mage talked about Minecraft Classic specifically for a couple reasons, but this is the example par excellence of a game where you create the universe, and therefore it's very hard to say goodbye to it. You know, I have even recently gone back and picked up some of the maps that I created in Minecraft many, many moons ago. And I remember the stories of them, right? It's crazy. It's unbelievable. It's almost like you jump back into a world where you go, oh, yeah, I remember this. There's a history here, right? I think it's one of the reasons why Minecraft, in terms of survival, is so, so good. If you play Minecraft as an adventure in survival rather than in creative, and you build something, you might not be able to build on the kind of grandiose scale that you do in a lot of games, in a lot of creative games. But there's a story involved. I'll give you an example. And this is exactly what the kind of thing the Male White Mage was talking about. Even though he's only talking really about Classic, I'm talking about the entire concept of Minecraft. I remember building a castle one time. I just loaded it up just this morning. And I remember, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. This is the very first castle I ever built when I decided I was just going to go build a castle. And I get up on the top of one of my towers and I look down. It's never completed. Things totally wide open. Snow's coming down. It's crazy. I look over, and there's this like giant spire, and underneath it there's like a little mound with a door on it. And I remember that when I found this site, the first thing I did was find something kind of right beside the site that I could plow into, make a tiny little hut home out of, while I was building to stay safe while I was building the walls of the castle. And there's a story there. Right? There's a story. It might be stupid, small. Maybe some of you are sitting there going, you freaking idiot, Commodore. This is just the stupidest thing I've ever heard that's so stupid and insignificant. Well, maybe it is. But you know what? It gave me a little bit of a narrative that makes that world really hard to say goodbye to. I've got all kinds of awesome things going on in Minecraft and other maps now that are bigger and nicer, and I have certainly learned a lot of techniques since then. But the world, at that moment that I created, has a history to it. And when something has a history to it, it's just too good to say goodbye to in many ways. And I think that really jumps out at me. Siska83, another one of our new members, mentioned something that is near and dear to my own heart. Counter-Strike 1.6, CS 1.6. So for those of you that are of the appropriate age, you played hours and hours and hours of this game. I have played hours and hours and hours of this game before 1.6. I've played hours and hours and hours of this game after 1.6, and Counter-Strike is just fun. Folks, you might not see this as a great, wonderful accomplishment, because I could probably do the same thing from reading books, but I will tell you almost everything I know about contemporary weaponry comes from my understanding of Counter-Strike. It is, it's a game that was, in a day where FPSs were dominated by just really blowing things up, destroying things, and killing as many things as possible, Counter-Strike came along as a game that emphasized accuracy toward reality, accuracy toward, you know, tactics, and strategy above blowing things away. And I thought, but by the way, also celebrated very highly refined skills, of which I never had any, right? I was always awful. Just ask my brothers, they used to just annihilate me all the time. But it was still fun, and it was a hard thing to say goodbye to. And I remember when they moved to Source, it was exactly the same game, but they moved to Source, there was this huge revolt of people that still wanted to stay on 1.6. And I think when you have something like that that happens, it means that people are just very, very afraid to say goodbye to an old game. So that's why I had to include it. Troy Loza Tomata talked about Final Fantasy VII. If I was going to go for a number two on the list of the contemporary 3D Final Fantasies, after 10 would be 7. Do I really need to say why? Final Fantasy VII changed the game of video games. It changed the entire face of video gaming all over the world. There's no question that it did. It was one of the biggest games, if not the biggest, in the PlayStation era. And it really is what took Sony from a fringe player and made them what they became. And hopefully what they will stay, although their current offerings certainly make me ask if and how and why. But Final Fantasy VII is such a deeply immersive experience, and it's before things got so crazy with Final Fantasy VIII and beyond that it got so nuts and out of control. It was before all this that it was still good. It was expansive but not ludicrous, and the freedom that you had in the game combined with the real empathy you had for the characters. To me, that was just huge, and a big part of why I love that game. So Final Fantasy VII is a really hard game to say goodbye to. The example that was provided, as a matter of fact, was, you know, the idea of being ready to beat the game, knowing you could do it easily, but, you know, just kind of waiting a little, you know, doing a couple other things, having some fun, doing stuff elsewhere, just because you could. Because you're like, you know, I don't want this to end right now. I'm kind of happy the way things are, and I don't want to go blow it all up yet. Done that in many, many a game, so I totally am there with you. That is the mark of a game that we don't like to say goodbye to. The Beer Ninja mentioned Mass Effect, which I think you could put on par with a lot of more of the American RPG that is very much a contemporary, you know, phenomenon. You know, the idea of the kind of immersive RPG a la, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, you know, Elder Scrolls, some of the old newer Elder Scrolls games, and Fallout, for example. These are all Fallout 3. You know, I think these are all part of the same kind of argument. They're all such great immersive worlds. And if you're a sci-fi fan, there's probably no greater universe out there for a video game, besides potentially Halo, than Mass Effect. Mass Effect is a sci-fi game for sci-fi fans. And if that's your thing, then I think it's going to be hard to kind of say goodbye to any of that. So I agree 100%. And here's the name I can never get right. So Windows Sun 91 or Windows On 91, I don't know. Clarify in the comments this week, please. Talked about Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And I think this is a great one, you know? For me, Link to the Past is on my list, but I think Ocarina of Time probably is even better because it was the first time I really found myself lost in a 3D world in a good way, you know, where it wasn't annoying, it wasn't awful, it was fun, it was immersive, and everything was cool, and you wanted to continue to discover, and you wanted to continue to find other things, and you didn't want it to end. That is the mark of a game that you can't say goodbye to, and I 100%. Totally agree with that. So, in any case, that is, you know, I think you could have easily said any of the Zelda games, and many of you said things like Majora's Mask, and you know, what have you, Wind Waker, so on and so forth. I think you probably could have claimed this for a lot of them. It just goes to show the genius that goes into the creation of the Link games, which I think is awesome. But I have to say that that any of them are good, but I think Ocarina of Time would probably be my selection as well for the game that was hardest to say goodbye to and move on to the next one. So, there were so many more to talk about. You know, Shenmue. You know, there were so many great games that came up in the conversation this week that I would love to talk about. But press for time, guys. So here's what I'm going to do. Jump into my favorites now that were very difficult for me to say goodbye to. The first one that jumped in my head when I heard this, but not my selection, is going to be one that all of you are going to go, what the hell are you smoking when you hear this? Super Mario Land for the Game Boy. And hold on, before you turn me off here, let me explain what I mean by that. Super Mario Land for the Game Boy was not a great game in almost any capacity. The control was tough, you know, it was difficult to see, it wasn't very bright, you know, it was on the dot matrix screen, you know, from the Game Boy. And it was a large departure in many ways from a lot of the other concepts in Mario, specifically, you know, the arcs of the fireballs, some of the art styling, you know, all these different things. But when you finish that game, the music that plays, I will never ever forget this. I remember letting my Game Boy just run and run and run at the end because I wanted to listen to the entire song. It's the best kind of reformulation of the Mario song I've ever heard in my life. And it was so, like, sad. It was like, yeah, you won, but it's so sad, you know? Don't you want to just keep playing? Don't you want to just keep going? And that, to me, deeply affected me as a child. So I had to put that out there. It's definitely not my pick. I'm just saying that was one of the first things I thought of when I started playing. So I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. I've got a couple of choices here too that come from adventure gaming, because there are a couple adventure games I think that do a great job. Specifically, Full Throttle, the LucasArts game. That game was tough to say goodbye to. You go through a lot with Ben, the protagonist, who's in many ways a kind of buff caricature of George Lucas. And, you know, to me, I really enjoyed that. I that was kind of aloof, but it was still deep and fun and engrossing. It was a great, great game. My first runner-up is Diablo. The original Diablo is one of those games that you can never get enough of. Even, you know, there was a time in my life when I would just pick that game up at least once a year, and I would just pop, even after two, long after two came out, and pop in the original game and just want to jump back in and keep playing. It's engrossing. It's fun. You've heard the same story 100 times. You don't care. It's like watching a familiar movie that you know and love. And you can still find ways to challenge yourself inside the game that I think is the mark of a game that is very difficult to say goodbye to. The world is engrossing. The story is great. It's one of the reasons why Diablo has still survived, even though the debacle of 3 is kind of monumental at this point. I think the reason that it survives is because the story is cool and the world itself is really, really engrossing. It's a world that is very, very difficult. Tristram is a tough place to say goodbye to. And as many times as they've tried to kind of bastardize it and change it, it lives on. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So, and my first game, the game that I'd say is the hardest to say goodbye to, and the reason I can say this is because I can't say goodbye to it. I can't quit this game, folks. I need help. I'm actually starting not to play games that are coming out because I'm still playing this game. Is Skyrim. I can't stop playing this game. I've beaten it. I've made my decisions. I've made my choices. I've done all the stuff. You know, and I just can't stop playing. It's just so much fun. I'm so kind of, you know, developed with this character. I love the character. I love the game. It just makes sense to me. And at the end of the day, that is what makes the game difficult to say goodbye to. But the world of Skyrim is my favorite. I love the snow. I love the cold. I love the Nords. It's different than any of the other. You know, it's not Oblivion. It's not, you know, Daggerfall. It is Skyrim. And Skyrim, to me, is probably my favorite part of all of Tamriel. So that the idea of that being kind of at the forefront is awesome as it is. But there's just something about standing at the top of a mountain, looking down, and snow just blowing out behind you, and hearing the wind. You just don't get that from other games. And the idea of being able to really battle dragons and things like that is just so incredible. That for me, There's no alternative. I have a really hard, I'm admitting it, I have a really hard time saying goodbye to Skyrim. So for all of you that said you have a hard time saying goodbye to any Bethesda game, I am right there with you, kids, because I cannot say goodbye to Skyrim. It's just that good. It's that good. And I don't even have like all the additions and everything, which I could totally go get now and beat as well. But in any case, that is a tough, tough game to say goodbye to. That's my choice. Great conversation this week, folks. We've identified a lot, and believe me, there are so many more that we could have put on here that are tough to say goodbye to. In so many reasons, and so many reasons why, that I think we could probably make 3 or 4 ringers out of this topic. But in any case, alas, that's not how the game works. We continue on as we move into the brave new world of the Weekly Ringer. That being said, time to get to the question for next week. I was thinking about this recently with a distinguished member of our community. How many of you have thought about, this is not the question for the Weekly Ringer, I'm just asking a question in general. How many of you thought, hypothetically, how many of you thought about the kind of bystander nature of video games? Maybe you had a significant other who didn't play video games and who liked to just kind of sit there and watch while you played, or hated sitting there and watching. Or you yourself. Maybe you grew up with siblings and they wanted to play and, you know, you had to spend a lot of your time watching even if you spent a lot of your time playing. You ever thought about that? Thought about kind of, you know, some of the memories that you might have there and some of the things that you've done or seen accomplished at that time? Well, I think it's a very divisive issue, but in this community, I think we can ask the question without being divisive at all. And I want to ask about the idea, the concept of really being a kind of bystander when it comes to video games. So not actually playing the game, but watching the game. Maybe even being an active part of the game, but watching people play, right? Or even encouraging people to play, or even helping people play, whatever the case, whatever you want to call it, right? Not being actively linked to the system with a controller at the moment, just being there as a bystander. I want you to think about that. And I want you to answer this question for next time. Is watching a good video game just as good as playing one? Think about that. Think about why I might be asking that question too. I think there's a lot of leading going on here, which is awesome. But in any case, guys, I think this is a good one. I think a lot of you are going to come up with some interesting stories. You know, it's not just Mr. K that's going to tell a story this week. I got a funny feeling about it. But in any case, we love you. We love you, my friend. Keep on keeping on. Those stories are great. This week is going to be conducive to a lot of stories. I can't wait to hear what you guys come up with. With that being said, that is this week's Weekly Ringer. I thank you all for watching. I thank you for being a part of the community. I am the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and there is no reset button.